A survey last year by Harvard University found that almost 60% of Massachusetts residents approve of the state's insurance mandate. Gary Cloutier is not one of them.
You're forcing something down my throat, and then you're penalizing me because I can't afford it.
Cloutier is a stocky 47-year-old who owns his own auto body repair shop in Westfield. He helps support his fiancée and her three children on about $40,000 a year. But since the economy took a plunge, fewer people are getting their fenders fixed. Cloutier is relieved when a return customer brings in his car.
Okay. Because we can get it in right away. Unfortunately, we're not real busy right now.
Okay. Even before the downturn, Cloutier had no budget for health insurance, and it's worried him.
Given the toxic chemicals that I'm dealing with, I'm probably a walking cancer time bomb right now. Who knows?
After the health care law passed, Cloutier was hoping to find an affordable insurance policy. That's what he thought health reform was all about. But his salary was too high for the state-subsidized plan called Commonwealth Care. He looked at the list of private plans brokered by the state. The cheapest was about $400 a month, more than he felt he could afford. He finally lost his cool when he heard that the standard penalty for people without health insurance would be $900 this year and $1,100 next year.
That doesn't solve the problem. It just moves the problem someplace else.
Cloutier is not looking at the state's tactics from a public policy perspective. Neil Cronin wishes he would.
The whole premise behind health reform has been that insurance becomes more affordable when everybody's in the system.
Cronin is with the Massachusetts Law Reform Institute, which advocates for low-income consumers.
And that if you leave an insurance system only to the sick and the elderly, then the costs of that insurance rises dramatically for those people who are heavy utilizers. So the way to spread the risk is to get everybody on board.
And so there's a kind of social compact that's part of our health insurance law.
Andrew Dreyfus is a vice president at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, which insures 3 million people and gained about 20,000 new customers since the law passed.
When we first did the analysis of who was uninsured in Massachusetts, a lot of the uninsured were people who could afford coverage without a subsidy, but just were choosing not to get it. And when they got sick, went to the emergency room, we all paid for it. The whole system was subsidizing that group of people, and I think it, you know, makes sense to bring them in.
The state does acknowledge the predicament of middle-income workers like Gary Cloutier, who make too much to qualify for a subsidy but too little to afford insurance. They can apply for a waiver from the penalty, although many people, including Cloutier, didn't know about that option. Out of the 200,000 people still uninsured in Massachusetts, most, according to one state survey, are healthy young people, exactly the demographic the mandate was supposed to bring into the system.
We're all arrogant and we all think that nothing's ever going to happen to us.
Lucas Wyant is a house painter, 27 years old and physically fit.
I just try not to do anything too dangerous in my life, you know? Like, I actually think about not going downhill skiing and stuff, and I test my luck once a year and hope I don't get hurt.
Wyant works for a small company in Northampton that doesn't offer health benefits. For the past few years, his salary has been in the mid-30s, a hair too high to qualify for Commonwealth Care. He could get a special policy designed for young people at just under $200 a month.
Which I could pay for, but it would be a little bit hard for me to pay that much a month for something that I don't really use.
Wyant says the only way he'll get insurance is if he ends up qualifying for a state subsidy. For 59-year-old Michael Delaney, the final incentive to buy insurance was the threat of a state penalty. Delaney is a self-employed title examiner in East Hampton. For years, he preferred to pay for the occasional doctor's visit than shell out for health insurance. But now he pays $400 a month, about 10% of his income, for a high-deductible plan.
What it means, practically speaking, is I can't take a decent vacation. I'm really not able to save any money toward retirement. I can't prepay my mortgage. I'm pretty much breaking even right now.
Delaney is one of 40,000 people who bought private coverage to comply with the state's mandate, and he has used it. For years, he's had a recurring condition that leaves him fatigued for months. Before he had insurance, the doctors would do simple blood tests and find nothing. But in the last year, with insurance card in hand, he got a very different treatment.
I wore a heart monitor around for a day. I had an MRI done. I went into Holyoke Hospital for an overnight sleep test to see if I have sleep apnea.
In the end, he says he burned through his $2,000 deductible, cost the healthcare system thousands more, and the doctors still couldn't diagnose him. It made him wonder whether all the efforts around getting people insured actually translates into better health care.
I still feel philosophically that the state should not be mandating a private health insurance policy. If they want to set up a state system, such as Canadians have or Europeans have, that's fine. I don't object to paying taxes for that.
And yet, Delaney admits that his insurance premium has bought him peace of mind and a bit of personal freedom. Last winter, for the first time in years, he went cross-country skiing. For WFCR and WNNZ, I'm Karen Brown.